Well, I just want to say to you, Merry Christmas. It's that time of year. It's all right. Y'all can say Merry Christmas, right? It's in full swing. You can't not see it. It's everywhere you go. Wow, is it ever commercialized? But this is the time that we celebrate the birth of God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. It's so strange to me how the focus has shifted away from Jesus and just becomes about, well, so many other things. It is the most important time of the year for the merchants. Many of them, they say it can make them or break them. I mean, we say it's the most wonderful time of the year. They agree, but for a different reason. You know what I'm saying? But we just need to realize that all of this that goes on and all of the decorating, it's shifted away from Jesus. I mean, there are a lot of people, their houses are all lit up and all decked out. And they don't even believe in Jesus. So this morning, well, we tell little children to believe in Santa Claus, but I just want to say Jesus is so much better than Santa Claus. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh, but Jesus rides on the wind and walks on water. Santa comes once a year, but Jesus is always with us. Santa will fill your stockings with toys. But Jesus, he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Listen, Santa comes down the chimney uninvited. But Jesus will knock at the door of your heart. And if you'll open that door, he'll come in and change your life. Amen. You know, you got to stand in line to see Santa. But Jesus, he's always available just at the mention of his name. Santa, he doesn't really know your name. If you go sit on his lap, he'll say, "What's your name?" But I want you to know, Jesus not only knows your name, he knew you before you were even born. He knows your past, your present, and your future. He knows how many hairs are on your head or not. Right? He knows everything about us, and he loves us, and he cares for us. You know, Santa says, "You better not cry," but the Bible tells us that Jesus will one day wipe every tear from our eyes. Yes. Santa's helpers, they make toys. Jesus makes new creations out of our lives. Santa will make you chuckle, but Jesus gives you a joy unspeakable. Jesus really is the reason for the season, because let me tell you, Santa, he puts gifts under the tree, but Jesus is the gift that died on a tree for every single one of us. We need to know. Christmas, it's all about Jesus, but not just Christmas. It's all about Jesus. We need to remember this. We need to know this, and we need to keep it in our heart and mind that when it's all said and done, this life, it's all about Jesus. He's the main thing. And so this morning, I just want to talk to you about Jesus. And I feel like I'm loud, and I might even get louder, so I'm moving this mic down. Somebody turn me down a little bit. I don't want to hurt everybody's ears. But I've just got something to declare to you today that it really is all about Jesus. I'm not going to talk to you so much about church and how you should do this or don't do that. I'm not going to talk about money and or family and work and friends and enemies. I just want to talk to you about Jesus. If people want to know what we preach here, we preach Jesus. What do we believe? Well, we believe in Jesus. But one time I was talking to a man, invited him to church, and I knew that he was trying to come up with an excuse why he wasn't going to come. So he says, "Well, what do y'all believe down there?" I said, "We believe in Jesus." He didn't know what to do with that. He wanted me to give him some weird doctrine he could say no to. But here's the thing. There's not much not to like about Jesus. And we just need to keep it the focus on Jesus, remember that it's really all about Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. That's where it begins. That's where it ends. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verses 15 through 18. Really powerful passage of Scripture. It's just full of amazing truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it tells us, beginning in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. There's an invisible God, but Jesus is the image of that invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. It's all about him. It was all created through him and for him. How do we ever get away from this? It's about Jesus. It's all for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. It's all about Jesus. Preeminence means surpassing all others. It is to be supreme above all else, unequaled. It means that he is first. He is the priority, first in importance in our lives. Oh, how we need to remember this. It's all about Jesus. He is to have preeminence, not just when it comes to church, not just when it comes to our faith, but in every part of our life, we need to remember that Jesus is the most important thing. This isn't just a religion, you know, add a little Jesus to your life. No, Jesus is our life. It's all about him. All things. See, we need to remember this in every season of life, whether it's in our work, our finances, our home, our relationship, relationships, he has to come first in our life. We got to make him the priority. He's more important than anything else. He's more important than being successful. He's more important. Oh my goodness, I'm going to say it. He's more important than family. Family's important. You want the blessing of God on your family, you put Jesus first. I mean, every season of life, there's this temptation or this opportunity to put something else ahead of the Lord and not really keep Jesus as the most important thing in your life. I mean, when you're a teenager, oh, there's a lot of distractions and pulls. I just want to tell our young people this morning, it's wonderful to have a youth group like you have. That is part of the vision of our church, and we believe in that. Those relationships you have with one another are so important, but Jesus has to always be first. It's really all about Jesus. Because here's the thing, there's going to come a day when you're going to go off to college or you're going to get a job that's going to take you somewhere else, and you're not going to have this youth group. You're going to be too old. They won't let you come anymore. But here's the thing. If Jesus is really first in your life, you're going to be just fine. You go off to college and Jesus is first in your life, you're going to be fine. Wherever you go, whatever you do. Well, it doesn't stop there, does it? Because, you know, first thing you know, a lot of going to end up getting married. It's amazing to me how many married couples or young couples get married and then they decide they don't need to go to church anymore. You don't need the blessing of God on your new marriage. I will tell you, you need to remember it's all about Jesus. We're married now. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is in the center of our relationship. Well, now we got a little one. Oh, my goodness, how could we possibly get up and go to church? I know some people probably get tired of hearing this story. I'm going to tell you anyway. Carmen and I, we didn't know any better. When we were 26 years old, we had two in diapers, and we were leading worship at an 8 o'clock service, and we just didn't think anything about it. We got up and went. Well, it's not about me. It's It's about Jesus. But here's what I want to say to you. You're starting a family. Oh, family's so important. It's all about Jesus. You will raise those children in the fear of the admonition of the Lord. You got to remember, it really is all about Jesus. He's the most important thing. And then you finally get those kids out of the house and become an empty nester. Now I can think about myself for a change. It's all about Jesus. A little bit later, you start thinking about retirement. You reach that age of retirement. Time to put our feet up. You got some time now. You got more time for Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. Every season of life, we need to know it's all about Jesus. He's the most important thing. He's the one that changes lives, that saves people. And it's all a matter of Jesus is whether or not you go to heaven. Right? I mean, it's Jesus. If you have Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you don't, Jesus is the most important thing. It really is all about Jesus. It's not about a denomination or this group or that one. It's about Jesus, not some certain preacher or a certain doctrine or teaching. Some people get so hung up on one certain doctrine, one certain teaching. It's amazing. Jesus is the most important thing. You know, Jesus is the one thing that divides us from unbelievers. And Jesus unifies the body. It's the one thing that unifies all of us together. There are always going to be doctrinal differences. But if we lift up Jesus instead of our doctrines and our differences, I want to tell you we can have unity. And Jesus prayed that we would have unity. But it amazes me. When you get to Christians together, it's amazing how that they can start looking or finding the things that they disagree about. I mean, you get Christians together from different denominations and they talk about their differences instead of the things they have in common, instead of talking about Jesus. Did you know it's not so much that way if you go to a foreign country where there's real persecution? Well, now, are you a Baptist or you're a brother in the Lord? You know Jesus? That's the only thing that matters. Amen. Church, we need to hear this. It's really all about Jesus. I'm not saying that doctrine doesn't matter at all, but I'm saying we need to keep the focus on Jesus and not on petty differences that divide, because Jesus wants his church to be one. You know, it's really funny. We get calls. Don't get offended. I'm just telling you. We get calls. We get emails. And some of you are going to be tempted to call or email this week after this sermon. I'm just telling you. But, you know, it goes like this. So what do y'all believe about my pet doctrine? Don't even want to tell them, because usually there's about a 1% chance we're going to make them happy. And some of you are thinking, well, I wonder what they believe about my pet doctrine. Sure, quiet in here. All of you thinking about your pet doctrine. How about you turn that over to Jesus? Here's what we believe. We believe in Jesus. We really, really believe in Jesus. And I want to tell you that Jesus, he wants to bring unity to his church. The division in the church, I will tell you, it's one of the main things that keeps people from believing in Jesus. John 17, 20 and 21, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Let's talk about Jesus. He wants us to be one. So many times, doctrines and different teachings are promoted to the point where they're used to divide, but Christ is not divided. When we keep Jesus as the main thing, we can have unity. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1, 12 and 13. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, it's not about any man. It's not about this denomination or this group. It's not about some person. See, that's where people get delusion and get off track. It's all about Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. People get distracted, hung up on one thing. There's only one thing we need to be hung up on, Jesus. It's been going around for a really long time, but some believers, the only thing they ever want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just picking on this a little bit, but I got to tell you that it can be a lot of different things. But some people, all they ever want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is wonderful. It is God in the life of the believer. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes, He testifies of Jesus. It's John 15, 26. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. He doesn't testify of Himself. He talks about Jesus. Jesus is to be given the preeminence in all things. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, whose witness do we become? Jesus. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses of me when you receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need to make Jesus the priority in everything that we do. So much of the time, people want to argue about the Bible like they do politics, or like they do about which sports team is better than another. I want to tell you, that just brings reproach on the name and the cause of Christ. It's all about Jesus, and we need to stay focused on Jesus. Jesus brings us together in unity. It's not about the music. It's not about the some personality. It's not about anything else. It's about the one that when we gather in His name, He's promised to be there in our midst. He said, if two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst. Not just when two or three gather, but when two or three gather in His name, because of Jesus. Why are we here today? Because of Jesus. He's the only reason worth coming. Because of Jesus, we gather in His name. And when we do, His presence is here. He's real. He's here. It's all about Jesus. And here's one of the things that I see when people gather in His name in the Scripture. When Jesus was in the house was full. And when Jesus was in the house, people were healed and lives were changed. You need to know that Jesus is just as much in the house, whether you can see Him or not. It's amazing to me. We say we gather in His name, but I want to tell you how you can get a real crowd out. So many people will come to hear a certain speaker or singer or celebrity. Why are they there? It's not Jesus. They're there because of somebody's personality or somebody's notoriety. And how we've lost sight of what's really important, Jesus. In fact, I'm just going to put this out there, just let you know, some of these big name speakers and singers and Christian comedians, they want an honorarium. In other words, you have to pay them $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. I know of one that it charged $100,000. They'll come do a service at your church for 30, 40 minutes. They'll get up and speak, and you got to give them $100,000. I want to tell you, if people really knew what kind of baloney's going on, they wouldn't even want to be a part of that. And it's quite disillusioning. But here's what I really have to say about that. It's not about a personality or a talent. It's not about somebody's notoriety. It's not because they're a big shot. It's all about Jesus. And we need to remember that's why we gather here. All about Jesus, to come and to worship Him. Even the worship sometimes, you know, we can get to the place where it's about what I like or what blesses me. No, worship isn't for me. Worship is for Jesus, and it is to lift Him up, to glorify Him, to express our love and adoration to Him. You know, even in our songs, sometimes we can get to the place where there's a lot of Christian music or Christian so-called worship music today that's about how I feel, and what it needs to be is about how wonderful He is. Amen. Even in ministry, we got to always keep the focus on Jesus. Jesus is the most important thing. Amen. He's the only one that can truly change a life. We just get to be a part of that. Amen? He's the vine and we're the branches. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. He's the one that changes lives. Not our talent. It's not our ability. It's not our strength. There's too much importance today placed on man's ability when what we need is the Holy Spirit working in our service and moving and touching hearts and lives. That's what really changes lives. Not certain superstars, but it's God moving and working. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29 in the NIV, it says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him." Where do you fall in there? He didn't choose many influential of noble birth. He didn't choose many wise. No, He chose the weak to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things, the despised things, the things that are nothing. Why? He gets all the glory. Nobody gets any glory except Jesus. It's really all about Him. I think sometimes in America, you know, we focus so much on teaching on how-to. And I don't want you to misunderstand me, because I'll probably do some how-to teaching next week. I don't know. But what I'm talking about is we talk about how to do marriage and how to raise kids and how to have success, or how to, you know, handle your finances and how to have peace and how to whatever. But I just want to tell you that sometimes we just need to come back and focus on this. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Because it's really all about Jesus. And when we have Jesus really as the preeminence in our life, at the center of our life, it's amazing how all of those other things fall into place. It's amazing how everything else is just blessed, and we experience this abundant life where we really understand that Jesus has to have the preeminence, that it's really all about Him. So, This morning, just for a few minutes, I want you to just focus, think about Jesus, and you know, forget about your worries and your troubles and your bills and your problems and all the stuff that's going on in this world, and just think about Jesus for a few moments. It's really all about Him, Son of God in the flesh, the beginning and the end, the I Am, Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost, Jesus. It was born in a manger, the most humble of means. And you know, I just realized this morning when people talk about a manger, what's a manger? Well, that's where Jesus was born. A manger is a feed trough. That's where Jesus was born. Don't say it like that, Pastor. That sounds awful. That's right. The Son of God was born in the most humble of means in a feed trough. And He lived in this world as a man, fully God, but fully man. He lived in this world and He went through all of the things that we go through. All of the heartache, the pains, the griefs, the struggles, all of those things, He experienced those things. As our high priest, I want to tell you, when nobody else may understand, Jesus understands. John the Baptist saw Him and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the one who took our sins. And we need to make it personal. Jesus took my sin. Past, present, and future. Don't want to add one. Jesus took my sin. He bore my sin on the cross. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus. He healed the sick. Do you know the Bible doesn't record any instances where someone came to Him for healing and didn't receive it? It's amazing. And we just need to believe that, yes, Jesus does heal. I know there's questions and things we don't understand, but you need to know this, that Jesus bore stripes on His body. By His wounds, we were healed. Jesus, our deliverer, came to set the captives free. He's the one that sets free from addictions, from sin, from unforgiveness, from oppression, from depression. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. If you're hurting, I want you to know He will comfort you. He will bind up your wounds and make you whole. He's the one that bore our griefs and He carried our sorrows. This Jesus, Jesus, He is the one that satisfies the longings of a thirsty soul. He says, if any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. Nothing in this world can truly satisfy except for Jesus. When it feels like the weight of the world is pressing down on you, Jesus is the one who says, come to Me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the one. We can cast our cares over on Him because He cares for us. When you're going through a great battle, it feels like the world is against you. Maybe you're under attack in some way. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will fight for you on your behalf. When we're lost, He looks for us. When we're hurting, He comforts us. He's always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. In the darkest night, when you feel all alone, or if you're in the midst of a crowd and feel all alone, Jesus is with you. Amen. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, He says, my peace I give unto you. If you need peace in your life, I want you to know that Jesus gives a peace the world cannot give. Jesus is a friend closer than a brother. I'll tell you, other people can let you down, but Jesus is the faithful friend. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, He'll give you strength. All of us, our strength is limited. But Jesus, he has a limitless supply. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, how do we lose sight of this? That it's really all about Jesus. When it comes down to this, does your family know that Jesus is the most important thing in your life? Does he truly have preeminence in your life? Do your coworkers know? Do your classmates at school know that Jesus is the most important thing in your life? It's all about Jesus. He really is the most important thing. And we need to set it right in our hearts and lives. How you live your life, the decisions that you make, you need to remember it's all about Jesus. When it comes to sharing your faith, remember it's all about Jesus. We're going to argue with somebody over whether or not it was real wine that Jesus drank. Good grief. Don't argue with people over things like that. Just talk to them about Jesus and what Jesus has done in your life. Testify. Bear witness to the goodness of God and what he's done for you. One man was out of church. He was bitter over things that had happened to him at church. He was telling the pastor about all the things that he didn't like about Christians. And the pastor finally said, "Well, what is it that you don't like about Jesus?" I want to tell you, most people have a really hard time finding something they don't like about Jesus. We just need to talk a lot more about Jesus. Sometimes we get distracted from Jesus by things that have happened. Get distracted from Jesus by other people. Sometimes our focus becomes about what's going on in our life instead of Jesus. Our ambition, our pride. We got to remember it's really all about Jesus. Here's the thing. When our focus and attention is on other things, sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves stressed out. Sooner or later, we're going to find ourselves thirsty, longing in our soul. Sooner or later, we're going to come to the end of our strength and find ourselves weak and broken. Because when it's all said and done, it really is all about Jesus. We need to keep him as the preeminence in our life. To give Jesus preeminence in your life, you have to say yes to Jesus. And you also have to say no to some other things that would distract you or pull you away from him. It really is all about Jesus. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.